It's 6 a.m. at the Resanu Garcia Libombo border post. Even before the border opens for daily business, trucks, local buses, and even pedestrians on foot are lined up to cross between the region's economic powerhouse, South Africa, and Mozambique, one of the world's poorest countries. Señor Rodrigues makes the border crossing twice a week to purchase onions and tomatoes, which he sells at Zimbeto Market, located just over 10 kilometers outside the capital of Maputo. Zimbeto Market supplies both consumers and vendors from other smaller markets.
I go to South Africa to buy and return to resell. The quantity for each visit is 1,000 sacks. The importance of this business for my family is my daily bread.
Many of the early morning travelers are food traders like Señor Rodrigues. Such traders can be found at every border post across the region. This episode of Feeding Hungry Cities, Southern Africa speaks on food security, looks at food security and the migration of informal traders across the borders.
Food is a very important item carried by many traders into different countries. For different countries it is different, so for Botswana it's less important, but for a country like Zimbabwe and for Mozambique, a lot of the goods that are carried across the border, both going into those countries and even coming back into South Africa, are very often foodstuffs. And that means that those traders think that not only can they make a profit of it, but there is a market for the food that they're carrying, and very often the food that they're carrying is basic. So it's normal groceries, it's not fancy items.
Many cross-border traders carry foodstuff. This trade, according to Dr. Sally Pebedi of the Gauteng City Regional Observatory, is responding to consumer and market demands. Over a 10-day period, the Southern African Migration Project monitored 20 land border posts in 11 countries in the Southern African Development Community. Of the 205,000 people counted crossing through the borders, over 40% were traders. The SAMP research suggests that informal cross-border trade should be seen as a benefit to regional economies.
One of the things is meat is very important going into Mozambique, red meat as opposed to chickens, but even chickens go in. Because of the legacy of the war, they lost a lot of their cattle, so they're still building up their cattle, so red meat is very expensive. So Swaziland and South Africa are important sources of red meat, and even for vegetables.
Evidence Msekwa sells acha and dried snookfish from vendor in Limpopo province to Zimbabwe. Business hasn't been great though, and long queues and uncertain working conditions eat into her profits.
The challenges that I face are that during holidays like Christmas and Easter, the lines get long and we cannot pass. The other problems that I face are that there are soldiers that come and take our stock when we try it and sell at the border.
Informal cross-border trade is big business, yet massive bureaucratic obstacles, including widespread corruption, inhibit the free flow of foodstuffs through borders and eat into incomes of traders themselves. Like local informal trade, cross-border traders see lack of political commitment supporting their enterprise as a barrier. Sipho Twala is an informal trader and the Secretary General for Qeda Indlala Hawkers Association. He favors one uniform policy that will govern the informal traders in the SADC region.
As you mentioned, the government is sidelining you. Looking at the regional in the SADC, is there a policy that has been put in place to protect the formal and informal traders?
That policy, it must allow the free flow of people and the free flow of goods within the SADC in the informal economy. For example, from my experience, countries like Swaziland, Lesotho, South Africa and Zambia, and Zimbabwe, are sharing the same experience being sidelined by the government. The informal traders. It's only the Zambian government, based on our experience, because we even went to Zambia to go and make some research. As our partners in Zambia, they call it in is a Copper Belt Cross-Border Integrated Business Association of the Informal Traders. That is the structure that has been recognized by the government in Zambia, of which we learn that there is a good relationship between the government of Zambia and the structures of the informal traders.
Like Sally Pebadi, Sipotwala believes that traders play an important role in responding to consumer food needs, especially where there are shortages.
There was a problem of food. The majority of informal traders from Zimbabwe come in South Africa, bought fruit and go and sell it there in Zimbabwe for those people who are in need of food. That is the role that our sector is playing really, really, specifically if those countries are faced with wars and others. Big companies, it's a risk to them to go and invest in such countries. But it's only informal economy that provides the free flow of services and goods within those countries.
We carry cross-border, ma'am. We carry goods from Zimbabwe, mostly Bulawayo, Harare, and Rua areas. We carry food and other goods.
Kabazile Zondo is a Malaysia, part of an industry of drivers who transport goods between Johannesburg and neighboring Zimbabwe. Once known as the breadbasket of Southern Africa, Zimbabwe's once fertile farming grounds no longer produce sufficient food to feed the nation. Much of the country's young and enterprising population have left and routinely send money and foodstuffs to sustain family back home, charging between 300 to 350 rand for transportation depending on the seasons. Zondo mostly transports basic foods like maize meal and rice. The Malaysia, meaning transporters or loaders, are a trusted network mostly of fellow Zimbabweans. Like traders, the Malaysia are frustrated at the lack of regulations and support, which hinders what many see as a vital network to access food.
Long back we have been using vans, so now we are using Quantum. You see, that's growing. There are challenges that it's growing, but the cost that we are paying, they correlate. You see, I can't say it's growing as such. There are no rules and regulations, and the government is not protecting us, Malaysians. If you take into account the money that we are putting as taxi industry and the protection that we are getting from government, it doesn't correlate. Do you understand that kind of a thing?
With large numbers of Zimbabweans now living in South Africa, someone who migrated for the purpose related to food security, there is no work or jobs at home, and they travel to be more food secure and able to send money back home for their families and secure. Sindizanya relies on Malaysia and other such networks to help out with family in Bulawayo. Simpiwe Kwicha speaks to her about the challenges she faces with supporting her family in South Africa and the family she has in Zimbabwe.
Looking at how you spend money here and also supporting your family, how expensive is that?
It is quite expensive because now food is expensive, rent are expensive, school fees are going up every year. I'm really finding very expensive now in terms of, like, you know, I have a family to support back home. My father is retired, he's no longer working. There's no one who's working at the moment at home. I saw it recently when I went home in December that, you know, they need a lot of support. I used to send money, like, often, like, after 3 months or 4 months or whenever I can manage to send money. But what I realized when I went home, I need to send money every month.
With large numbers of Zimbabweans now living in South Africa, cross-border trade and sending remittances back are a dynamic business. Goods and money can be sent in many ways: personal transport of funds, through a third party or a family friend. According to Percy Toriro of the Municipal Development Partnership for East and Southern Africa, such remittances have been vital for many families' food security.
The migrant side has also helped complement the food security side, because these people, whenever people go out, they maintain links with their families. And what it also then means is they are helping the family that remains at home cope. They are contributing to the survival, to the food security, to the general well-being of the people that have remained at home. So migration, in a way, has also helped because it has brought in an additional income.
Yet the situation is certainly not unique to South Africa, as Nomncebo Simelane of the University of Swaziland points out.
If you look at the rural areas, there is still quite a number, although the proportion has declined, of Swazi workers moving into South Africa, particularly in the mines. But there is still a significant proportion that are still working in the South African mines. And then there are also people in various other categories who are working in South Africa and therefore bringing remittances back to the country.
The transportation of food across borders is not an easy task. There is a lot of challenges to overcome, like corruption along the way and increasing costs of moving goods. Yet in many cases, the business business of food across borders enables a better life for people by affording them a livelihood, especially for breadwinners in families. This trade also makes food readily available to poor urban communities. There's a need to better understand how traded food end up in urban food supply channels and how it contributes to the food security of trader households. Most importantly, does informal trade across border help improve food availability for poor urban households?
Hunger, African city, people in rows don't want to get home. Month end, money not reaching, 6 more days of an empty kitchen. Security.